You're listening to Amud VeChazara with Daniel Eisenberg, Maseches Brachos. Tonight's Amud is Mem Beis Amud Aleph. We are starting from the two dot, not the two dots. Are we starting from the top of Mem Beis Amud Aleph?
Yeah, very first line.
Wonderful. Okay. So, Rav Huna Ochal Tlesar Rifti B'nei Tlasa Tlasa Vekava. So, Rav Huna ate 13 breads. Each one of these was 3 to the kav. Tlasa, tlasa. Each one is tlasa to the kava. So this is a very large amount of food. Now, Rashi clarifies that it's mipasa ba'bekistin v'lo berach achrav. So basically, we mentioned on the previous amud this concept of pasa ba'bekistin. Different Rafarshim explained different, you know, there's a lot of discussion on what this pasa baba kisnin is, bread that comes with kisnin, might be like some sort of pocket, some sort of pastry, something that, the way Rashi explained it on the previous summit was that it has very little bread content, like a lot of like nuts, a lot of other things in it, not so much bread content. Bottom line is that it seems to be some sort of snack that you typically wouldn't wash and bench on, even if it's it is bread, some sort of bread substance, but it's more like a snack than anything else. So anyway, he eats this very large amount, 13. It's unclear if it means it literally, but a very large amount of pasaba bekisnin, 13 breads of these, 3 kavs each, velo barich, and he didn't make a bracha acharona. Now, when we say don't make a bracha achrona, as we've used the term in the past, it means he didn't bench or even make alam ichya, he said a brain of fashos. Okay, Amalei Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says to him, ade kafna. So Rashi says it's elu, ade is elu. These are kafna. These were for kafna, for like hunger, meaning like you ate these as to satisfy yourself, meaning it wasn't just like, a snack. You were eating this to actually satisfy a hunger, meaning like a meal. Ella, kol she'achirim kovim alav suda tzarech levarech. Anything that everybody else would be kovei a suda on, you need to make a bracha, you need to bench on. So what he's telling him, Rav Nachman is telling Rav Huna, is that, yes, it's true, pasaba bekisnin, if you take a little snack, so you're not going to make an alam, you're not going to bench, you're going to make a brain fashos. But the amount that you ate is such a large amount that's a suda size of pasaba bekisnin, therefore you would actually bench on that. You wash and bench on that. So you were required to make berachas matzah. Okay, Rav Yehuda hava asig lebreid be Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva. Sir, Rav Yehuda was involved in arranging the marriage of his son lebreid for his son be Rav bar Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva to the daughter of Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva. Aisu lekamayhu pasaba bekisnin. So they brought before him pasaba bekisnin. Kiyasa Shaminhu to Kamavarchi Hamotzi, when he heard them saying Hamotzi Lechem Aretz on this, the Pasuk of Bekisnin, Amarlu, he said to them, My Tzitzi to Ka Shamana. What's this? I hear something like you saying Tzitzi, something, Tzitzi, right? So they said Hamotzi. He heard like these Tzitzi sounds as if they were saying Hamotzi. So he's saying, what's this Tzitzi I hear? Dilma Hamotzi Lechem Aretz Kamavarchi Su? Is it possible? Is it perhaps you're saying Hamotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz on a possible bekisnin? Right? I don't know if it's like an intense, like, you know, fathers meeting each other meeting and then someone's making the wrong bracha. He says, what are you guys doing? And Relay, they said to him, in. Actually, no, the tzitzi was indeed a Hamotzi. Netanya, we looked at the price. So Rav Muna Amar Mishum Rabbi Huda, possible bekisnin of Archon Alei Hamotzi. Right, so we learned this brisa that Rav Muna says, name of Rabbi Yehuda, that you say Hamotzi and Vas Bekisnin. Amar Shmuel, and Shmuel said regarding this, Halacha Rabbi Muna, Halacha is according to Rav Muna, so on a Pasuk Bekisnin, you're supposed to say Hamotzi, even on a little bit. Amar Lehu, so Rav Yehuda said back to them, Ain halacha k'rav muna. Halacha is not like Rav Hamnuna. Sorry, ain halacha k'rav muna itmar. It was not stated. Shmuel did not say that halacha is in accordance with Rav Muna. They said back to him, v'ha'mar hu da'amar mishmei de Shmuel. But the master said, in the name of Shmuel. Meaning, I think, talking to him himself, talking to Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva, I think that's the mar they're talking about. But the master said, in the name of Shmuel, lachmanios ma'arvin behen umavarchin alehen hamotzi. That if you have lachmanios, so in modern Hebrew, lachmaniot are like rolls, like little lechems. Rashi says, ovliash belaz. So it's this ovliash. I don't know exactly what it is. I don't know if they're little rolls or just something that. But the bottom line is, this type of thing is a type of basav abekisn, this lachmanios, whatever it was at that time. I don't know if it's a croissant, whatever it is, it's considered a basav abekisn. So anyway, Shmuel said regarding these lachmanios, ma'arvin bahen, you can make an erev with them, right? Erev chaseros. Umavarchan alei hamotzi, and you're allowed to say hamotzi, and we do say hamotzi on them, right? So back a step. So Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva says, are you guys saying, what's this tzitzit? They said, oh no, we're actually saying hamotzi. He says, what do you mean you're saying hamotzi? It's mizonos. And then they respond, no, we have a brisa, and Rav Muna says that you make quoting Rav Yehuda, that you make hamotzi. And Shmuel says halacha is like this Rav Muna in the name of Rav Yehuda. And then he said back, that's not true. Shmuel never said the halacha is in accordance with the Rav Muna in the name of Rav Yehuda. And then they said back to him, but didn't you yourself quote Shmuel as saying with lachmanios, which is the same halacha as the pasuk of Bekisnin, that you're allowed to make an erev with it and you say hamotzi with it? So shani hasam. The response is there. It's different. Dekava su desei alaihu. In that case, it wasn't just stam lachmanios, it was lachmanios that they're actually being kovea asuda on. And if you're kovea asuda on it, you're saying this is the mainstay of the meal, then it's going to be hamotzi. Aval hecha deloka vasu desei alaihu.
Like, which things are mezainas and which ones aren't?
I'm sorry?
How do you know something's mezainas and something's hamotzi?
So, yes, I mean, that's kind of what we're clarifying. So bread, what we would call bread is hamotzi. Anything else that's made with grains that's not bread, that'll be something that's not, right? A bread is a suda food. Something that you would snack on would be mizonos. So now we're trying to clarify what about these things. So something like lachmania, like these lachmanios, or pasav avikisnin, so these are things that you snack on. So that's, let's just finish this one point. Aval hecha delo kavasuda se alaihu. Low. But if you're not kovei asud on it, then no. We're sitting in this little meeting, this little shidduch meeting, and you're snacking on some whether it's crackers or this or that, or like a little, like a barek of some sort. This is possible bekisnin. You don't make hamotzi on that. If we're kovei the sud on it, if it's a loaf of bread, that's very easy. Now, there are going to be a lot of things that are like, you know, questionable because of this. For example, pizza. Right? What do we say about pizza? Is pizza a snack? It's definitely possible of a kisnin. Right? Because there's a machlokas of what takes something out of the category of bread and makes it possible of a kisnin. What exactly is it? Is it something in the dough? Is it something that it's filled with something? Is it made in a hard shape like a cracker? So this, it's a machlokas in the Rishonim, what it actually is. But I'm saying there's like food that will be questionable. Like, maybe, what about is pizza? What's the halacha of that? What about a croissant? All of these things are going to. I mean, like, there's, you know, lots of halachic literature written about each of these things, and it could. So, and it makes a big difference if you're kovea asuda on it or not, right? Certain foods that you're kovea asuda on could be like this food inherently isn't. Isn't hamotzi, but you make a suit on it. So if I, right, that's like where it comes, like, okay, I'm having two slices of pizza. Some people hold it, you wash on even one slice, right? Even a bite of pizza, even a kazayas of pizza you would wash. Some say no, only if it's two slices, because then it would be a suit on it. So that's all going to be part of this discussion. I once had, I was once on a Shabbaton, And I was doing like it was a Kiyur Shabbaton, and I was like doing like a Shmira shift, like I don't know, 2 to 3 in the morning or whatever it was. And there are a lot of chocolate chip cookies. By the end of my shift, I had to bench. I benched. I made a mizonos at the beginning, and then I ended up having to bench in the end because I was the amount of cookies that I had was Koveya Suda. It was a long time ago. It was a different lifetime, but and I certainly wasn't married at the time.
What if you have something that it's like a breadish like food, so you really couldn't, if you would use it to be Koveya Suda, you would say MIC, but like no one does it to use for a Suda. So like you could, but no one does.
Like a slice of marble cake for a cream cheese sandwich? So it might be actually a problem. Like let's say you would want to have let's say you'd have bologna on two slices of marble cake, right? So you might actually have to watch and that you're being koveya sued on it. So yeah, it's a question. So this is makes a much longer discussion and for like a halacha class, not like a bakiyas shir, but this will be part of the discussion. So now that you hopefully with learning this gemara now, then doing some chazaras on it with Rashi, and then you'll be able to enhance with other Rishonim, you'll get an understanding of why the halacha is what it is. So when you know whatever you hold about pizza or, I don't know, anything else it might be, or a certain amount of crackers or burekers or croissants, so it's going to be based in the sugya here, but we're doing a light version of it. So let's continue. So now a different discussion from Pasuk B'Kissin. Rav Papa Ikla Lebei Rav Huna. So this is a discussion about when a meal officially ends. Rav Papa came before, he visited the house of Rav Huna, Bereda Rav Nasan, the son of Rav Nasan. Basar de Gamri Sudasayu, after they finished the Suda, right, so they finished eating, right, the last course was taken away. Or they finished eating, the plates are empty. Aisu the Kamayu Midi the Mechel, they brought something else to eat. You didn't know. We forgot the potatoes. This past Shabbos we forgot the potatoes. Right. So we forgot the potatoes. So they bring up the potatoes. Shakel Rav Papa. Rav Papa took some potatoes. V'kachli il, and he started to eat. Amri le. So they said to him, Lo sava la mar gemara asher lemilecho. Does the master not hold that once you finished, you're not allowed to eat anymore? Now, this is a discussion of what this might mean. What do you mean, like, what you once you finish a meal, you're not allowed to eat anymore for the rest of your life? So that definitely doesn't mean that. certainly not. So after one meal, someone would be done. So Rashi says, "Ad sheberech birchas hamazon v'yachzor v'yivarech al balafon of dik." Right, that it could be that after you're done eating, you should bench right away. You shouldn't eat something else that's from a different, like, meal, without benching, or it could be that it means that it's asur lechol, you're not allowed to eat without making a new bracha on it. But the bottom line is what happened was Rav Papa, they finished the meal, everything was, you know, they finished all the food on the table, they brought something else out, seemingly after the suda was over, and he didn't make a new bracha, he didn't bench first and then make a new bracha, he just started eating right away, eating the potatoes or whatever it was. So they said, doesn't the master hold that this is not okay? Amarlu, he responded to them, Salik Itmar. It was stated regarding Salik, a removal, meaning the Suda does not end once all the food off the table is gone. Once we finish the food, so it's Salik. After it's removed, Salik Alechem V'chola Ochel Me'al Shulchan V'adayin Lo Barchu Asher Lechol. That if, says Rashi, right? If they remove the bread, the food, they clean the table. They removed everything from the table. In some places, they might even remove the table itself back in the day. The adayin lo baruchu, right? Because they would eat it like trays and sometimes. So adayin lo baruchu asher lecho. In that situation, that's when the meal is over. The meal is over when you take all the food off the table. Not when we just happen to finish the portions in front of us and it seems like it's over. Okay.
What do you mean? Because a lot of people between courses, they take everything off. Like, let's say between the main course and, like, dessert. They clear out the table, then they bring, like a cake.
We're not talking dessert. Dessert was a discussion on the previous sandwich. Right now we're not really talking dessert. We're talking, it seems like some other food that would probably be part of the meal, but it looks like everything was finished in front of them. It looked like the meal was over, and then they brought out more food. That's what it seems to be. And he says that just because it looked like the meal was over and we were technically done eating does not mean that the meal is over. It ain't over till it's over. It ain't over till you remove the table. Or remove the table or remove like all the food. I think some Rishonim say that they would actually move the table. Rava, actually, no, sorry. That's the next opinion of the Gemara. Sorry for ruining that for you. Rava of Rebbe Zera, Iklo, Lebe Reish Galusa. Rava and Rebbe Zera went before, they were visiting the Reish Galusa. I think you probably learned about the Reish Galusa with Rav Cohen. Did you mention it? Reish Galusa literally means the Rosh Galus, the head of the Galus. He was a political figure, kind of like the Nasi in the Galus. He was from and usually quite learned, but he was also politically chashiv. So anyway, they went to the pass of the Reish Galusa, lebasar de saliku, taka mikamayhu, and after they removed the trees from in front of them, shadru lehu ristana. They sent ristana to them. Rashi says ristana. Rashi is going to help us out here big time. He says it's aminastarasoyun. I don't know what that is. He sent some sort of food, some sort of portion. So again, Rava and Rav Zera, they're visiting the house of the Reish Galusa. They remove the trays, they remove the tables from in front of them, the slikutaka, this table from in front of them, and then they brought out more food, some ristana, mibei Reish Galusa, from the house of the Reish Galusa. So it says they were already in that bei Reish Galusa. So it seems that it could be he was like in a different room or something like that. Wasn't necessarily eating it. They were in the living room, maybe. He was in the dining room. Reish Galusa presumably had a bigger house. And anyway, so their trays were removed, and then more food came out. Rava achil, Rav Zera lo achil. Rava ate, Rav Zera did not eat. Amar lei, said to him, lo savar lamar salik asr melecho. Doesn't the master hold that if they remove it, they removed the food, they removed the tables, the trays, which seems to imply, by the way, that the Rav Papa's ruling was indeed regarding removing tables and trays. Rashi doesn't say it. Rashi says they removed all the food, but based on this, it looks like that removing the tray is the first opinion that we're saying. So doesn't the master hold that you're not allowed to eat anymore, at least until making a new brach or until benching first, if they remove the table? Amar Lehi said to him, Anan atacha deresh galusa semchinan. We are relying on the table of the Reish Galusa, meaning, the Ein Silikusenu Saluk, says Rashi, and our Siluk, our removal, is not a Siluk of our minds. Shedatenu, Im Yisa, Shedatenu, because our minds are, Im Yisa Masos Meis Panav Eleinu Nechal, that we're going to eat, meaning, when we come to the house of the Reish Galusa, we're like Mavatal our Das, to the whatever the Reish Galusa says. So we don't like have a mind that like, you know, so they remove the trays and now we're done eating. We don't have that because we always are being mindful about whatever the Reish Galusa is going to send out of his kitchen or his dining room to us in the living room. We have in mind that that's going to continue part of the Suda. So we didn't have like a Hesech Hadas to say, okay, now our Suda is over. That never happened. If the Reish Galusa is going to send us more food, we're going to take it. If there's going to be a Ristana coming out, I don't know what a Ristana is, but if the Reish Galusa is sending it, then I'm going to take it. And that's the mindset. So in general, Rava and Rav Zera seem to subscribe to the opinion of Rav Papa that the end of the Suda, so removal of the trays and tables constitutes the end of the Suda, exception. If you're at the Reish Galusa or somebody's house that you're you're a guest and you're depending on their food, so then maybe it'll be different. Okay. Amar Rav, so Rav says a different opinion. Hergil, Beshemen, this is not necessarily different, but it could be different for some people. Haragil b'shemen, somebody who's ragil b'shemen, he's accustomed to using shemen. Rashi says limshoch yedav achar achila, that what he does is he uses oil to clean his hands after the meal, so gets rid of the bad smell, gets rid of the bad, you know, whatever. You know, nothing cleans your hands and gets them all oily like oil. So anyway, so people were ragil to do this. So shemen ma'akvo, the oil holds him back, meaning until. If someone's ragil to use oil, so they are not considered done with their suda until they actually use that oil. So even if the table is removed, if I'm used to using oil, then if I don't have to, then I my suit isn't over yet. Amar Ravashi, Rashi says, Kiyavin be Rav Kahana, when we were by the house of Rav Kahana, Amar Lan, he said to us, Kigodanan, no, this is like us. Deragilin b'mishcha, mishcha ma'akva, that we're ragil b'mishcha, b'shemen, right? So mishcha ma'akva, lan, the shemen holds us back. And then, now, here comes the halacha. V'leis hilchasa kekol hani shmaitza. But the halacha is not like any of these teachings. When does the meal end? It is not when all the food is gone. Or what, right, when the old food is gone. It's not when the table and trays are removed. It's not when they use oil. When is the meal over? Ela kiha to Amarav Chia Barashi, Amarav. It's rather like this. Shlosh tekifos hain. There are three tekifos. There are three immediates. Right, tekef means immediate. There are three things that must be done immediately after something else. Shlosh tekef hain. Tekef l'smicha shchita. That as soon as a guy gets smicha and becomes a rabbi, you gotta slaughter him. You gotta, no. When it comes to smicha and karbanos, so immediately after doing the smicha, leaning on the animal, shchita should come immediately after. Okay, take of the geula tefila. Immediately after the geula, we should daven, right? And this is smichas geula tefila. We've spoken about this. Daf dalid. We spoke about it by Mariv and not interrupting, no separations. What about hashkivenu? What about Hashem sevasai tiftach at the beginning? So right, it's supposed to be immediate tekef. And the third takeif, this is one for us, takeif the Netilas Yadayim, bracha, immediately after the Netilas Yadayim should be the bracha. And Rashi says, demayim acharonim, brechas mazon, v'leochel klum ad shevarech al mazono. So after you do mayim acharonim, benching should come immediately after, you don't eat anything else. So when does the meal end? According to the bottom line of the Gemara, the meal ends after mayim acharonim. Okay. Amar Abaye adds to this teaching of Rav, Af anu nemar tekef l'tamidich, and we can also say one more tekef, another immediate, l'tamidich hachamim bracha. That immediately to tamidich hachamim is bracha. Rashi says, Hamakrivu elevu ma'archu abeso. That immediately when you bring a talmid chacham into your house to host him, so you get bracha. Shenemar, as we have a pasuk that says, "Vayverchini Hashem biglalecha," that Hashem blessed me because of you on your account. So this was said by Lavan to Yaakov. He says that I have seen that I've become blessed because of you. Iba yisema mehacha, and if you want, you can say it from here. Shenemar vayivarech Hashem es beis haMitzri biglal Yosef. Hashem blessed the house of the Mitzri Potiphar on the account of Yosef. So we have some nice examples. So like, you know, if this could help people like Lavan and Potiphar, then you can imagine what it could do for you. To host Talmidei Chachamim, immediately bracha will come after. Okay. And we'll end with the Mishnah. New Mishnah. Masnisan barech al hayayin. Someone makes a bracha on wine, shilaf ne hamazon, before the meal. Patar siyayin shil achar mazon. So it patars the wine that's going to eat be eaten after the meal. So it seems.
If you didn't make
right. So let's just take a look at this Rashi, because Rashi is going to give us some ancient Babylonian food etiquette, right? So nogin hayu lahavi kodem achila kos yayin l'shtos. So it was the people were nohig to bring a cup of wine before the meal to drink. We're going to learn it later on. Parparos, and they would bring like an appetizer, lahamshich achila, kigon pargios v'dagim, like some good appetizers, some chicken, some fish. V'acharkach mevin hashulchan, and then they would bring out the meal, the table with the meal. Ulachar gomar suda yoshvin v'shosin v'ochlim. And after they would finish the suda, they would sit and they would drink and they would eat. Umahin ochlin parparos kigon kisne demalu liba lachmanios. They have some sort of pasva bekisnin. So basically, people were knowing that before the Suda, they would have some wine, they would have some meat or fish, then they would have like this, they would have bread and the Suda and the main thing that they were eating, and then afterwards they would drink a little bit more wine, have a little bit more of, I don't know if you call it an appetizer, if it's at the end, it's some sort of like dessert-like thing. So we're discussing how many brachos do you need to make in this process. So now back to the Mishnah. Barich al yayin shilif ne'a mazon. So the wine that you had before, patras yayin shil achra mazon. So if you make a bracha at the beginning of the Suda for wine, so then after, it seemed, Rashi seemed to say it was before Birchas HaMazon, so they'd have a little bit more wine at the end of the meal, so all the wine in the meal and at the end of the meal are covered by the wine before the meal, which we know, lahalacha, we see that by Kiddush all the time, right? That you make wine at the beginning, and any wine you have during the meal is covered, even though it was before the Hamotzi. So if you made a bracha on the parparos before the mazon, so even after that, that covers all of the parparos that you're eating during the meal. Borech ala pas, if you made the bracha on the bread, patras parparos. But if you already made the bracha on the bread, then that's going to cover, that's going to potter your the necessity of making a bracha on the parparos. Ala parparos, but if you make a bracha on the parparos, lo patras a pas. That's not going to potter the bracha on the bread. Okay. Beis Shammai say, Aflo Maisa Kedera. And even Maisa Kedera, it seems like the bracha won't cover. That, okay. The Gemara is going to explain this. The Gemara is going to explain all of the Mishnah. Rashi just says, Chilka Targis Vatisni. We learned about this Maisa Kedera, some sort of like grits. I think it was a porridge of some sort of grits. It's like some sort of Mazonas food. Maisa Kedera. Okay, so the Gemara will explain that. Hayu Yoshvin, if they were sitting, Rashi says, "Behalo hasebas mito shemotin al tzedehen." Without haseba, without leaning, right? Kulan misubin, without leaning. She, right? So the Gemara will explain also the significance here. But let's say they're sitting as opposed to leaning together. So when you're leaning together, you have your couches that they used to lean on. So that's more of them kovea a suda together, that they're a group of people in the suda. If they're just sitting at a table, it's not like nowadays where we sit at tables, that's normal. But so they're not sitting at tables, so they're kind of like a bunch of like random people not together in one group. So hayu yoshvin kol echem levarach la'atzmo. Everybody makes a bracha for themselves. Rashi says the ain't kava suda below haseba. If you don't have a seba, then they're not sitting together, they're not eating together. Therefore, even the halacha of Shmei Ka'ona, that in general you can potter somebody else with your bracha, so we don't say that by benching. By benching, you need to be part of, in order for me to be to potter you from benching, and I'm going to bench out loud, and you're going to listen carefully and say amen, that only works if we did a seba. But if not, then we're disconnected, and we can't do that. So, hayoshin kol echad mevarech la'atzmo, hasevo ech mevarech l'kulon. But if they had a seba, if they all lean together, then one person can make a bracha for everybody. Bolahem yain b'tzoch hamazon. If they brought out wine in the middle of the meal, kol echad ve'echad mevarech la'atzmo. Everybody should make a bray prayer guffin on their own. Rashi says, "Be Gemara mefarish time," and the Gemara is going to explain why. Vechem mevarech la'atzmo. All right, okay. Achar mazon. If they brought wine after the meal, after they benched. So one person can make the bracha for everybody to drink wine. So he's right after the meal. Maybe they even bench on a kos. The Gemara will explain this, but and everyone can be yotzei. Vehu Omer, and this person who benched for everybody, Omer al hamugmar. He's also going to say the bracha on the mugmar, that which is like some sort of incense that they would bring seemingly at the end of meals. Osa shebarach al yayin, hu mevarach al mugmar, says Rashi. Shahayu regilim lahavi lefneim achar achila. Avkas Rochlin, they would ala Aish, they bring out this mugmar, this like incense thing, l'reach tov. So the person, so who would make the bracha on the mugmar for everybody? It would be the one who made the who benched or who made the bracha on the wine. V'afal pishein v'vien es a mugmar el la'achar suda. Even though they didn't bring the mugmar until after the suda, so it's a little bit of a chiddush. This is not part of the suda anymore, right? The unlike the benching and maybe the berakir guffin on the kos after the suda, the mugmar is not even part of the suda, and nevertheless, this person is the one who makes the bracha on the mugmar, and he's motzi everybody in the bracha of the mugmar. And all of this Mishnah, obviously, will be discussed throughout the Gemara.